Welcome back. Oh, excuse me. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back. It's Monday, so I'm glad that you're here. We're just doing a little recording, so I say welcome back. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It is Catholic Answers Live. Delighted to have you here with us. Thanks for being here. And tomorrow, as you know, is the 46th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, which means that, in this last weekend, the big giant Walk for Life was in Washington, D.C. And this past weekend and the coming weekend are Walks for Life all around the country. We had one here on Saturday in San Diego, and all kinds of news coming out of that. And so, Will, you know, a pro-life theme is not a bad idea. So we thought we'd take the first hour with Trent Horn, one of the most, one of the clearest and most compelling defenders of life on the scene today anywhere. And so we're delighted to have him. Today we're going to talk about courageously pro-life. Trent, first of all, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, Cy, for having me.
Trent is the author of a book called Persuasive Pro-Life, among many other books. And his most recent publication is Made This Way, which is about how to answer tough moral issues, including abortion, with kids. Trent, first of all, go ahead.
We also, on Made This Way, we got a special deal for people.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So the best price you could want, it's free. It's free. No strings attached. We're giving it away for free, Made This Way, on Amazon all this week. So if you go to Amazon.com, search for Made This Way, you can get a free Kindle copy of the book, a free electronic copy of Made This Way. And if you or a friend, because this is a great book, if you want to refer it to a friend, say, hey, you need to pick up a copy of this book, especially if they're a little ambivalent, they can get a free copy. And I would just say, if you want to go to Amazon and you get your free copy, get one. And you might want to consider leaving a review. That's always nice. So yeah, go to Amazon, look up Made This Way by myself and Layla Miller, and you get a free copy.
I'm delighted because I'll finally get around to reading it now. I've been waiting for the free copy.
You know, everybody here gets a free copy, right, Cy?
Oh, you tell me. 888-318-7884 is the number. Courageously pro-life is the topic. Trent Horn is our guest. 888-318-7884. Trent, first of all, I would like to say something. So many marches this weekend, a lot of competing marches, but the Women's March, which started the year that I believe it was the year that President Trump was elected, and it's around women's issues and just a general sense of anger at this at the person and at the message of President Trump, and a huge big thing.
The Women's March is more defined by what it's against than what it is for.
Yeah, it's a protest
because
march, right?
Because for example, the March for Life is very clear what it is for. It is for the restoration of the right to life of unborn children.
Yeah.
The Women's March are a bunch of people who are disaffected with the current presidential administration, many of whom have conflicting ideologies among one another, which is why there have recently been charges of anti-Semitism among those who organized the march.
Yeah, and pretty credible charges.
Yeah.
Okay, but so, well, here's what I was thinking and why I brought up the Women's March.
Sure.
You a few years ago, Wall Street, what was it? Occupy Wall Street movement.
Yes.
A few years before that, another thing. Over the 46 years that pro-life people have just been getting up in the morning and going on a cold walk in defense of life, so many walks have come and gone.
Right.
It's very hard to sustain that over 46 years. And these other things, these other movements prove it. It's extreme. I mean, we're in the third year of the Women's March, and it was an unmitigated disaster this year. It was just almost nobody showed up compared to what they got the first year. And each year, the Walk for Life is big and beautiful and it's consistent. And that's tells me something about the quality of the people who do this, the courage in their hearts, the determination, the fact that this is not a shallow thing, that this is a deeply held and moral conviction.
That's right. And so I think that's important when people see why the march matters and why I think it's important, especially for young people, to go at least once to get a feel for how large a pro-life movement is. So today on the show, Cy, this is kind of a special episode of Catholic Answers Live. Originally, we had planned on the schedule months and months ago to do a Why Are You Pro-Choice show, which I normally like to do around the March for Life. I think it's a great topic to bring up around that time. I decided to change it today to let pro-life people call in with their questions about how to be pro-life and how to be courageously pro-life because of the events that happened at the March for Life this weekend related to the Catholic high school students from Covington Catholic High School.
Yeah.
And that...
Who I believe we were... in one 24-hour period, we were supposed to crucify them and burn their houses down. And then, oh, wait a second, they didn't do anything.
This is one of the biggest media debacles I have seen in a long time. And it is so unfortunate. And I expect this from the mainstream media, the Charlatan News Network, you know, all of these individuals.
Charlatan News Network. Yeah. I know what that is.
Yeah, I know
what you're talking about.
I'm not
about.
Afraid to say that now.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
Here's the thing. This is a big deal to me that what happened with these – for those of you who haven't heard or haven't watched the news, and you may be better off for having doing that. At the march, originally the news story on Saturday was that a group of male Catholic high school students from Covington Catholic High School were accused of harassing, yelling, and intimidating a Native American veteran who was present at the Indigenous People's March in Washington going on at the same time.
Right.
They were some people even compared them to, and there's the most famous part of the video is one of the students, Nick Sandman, is standing there and he's smirking a little bit. He's smiling. It's a very short video. And this Native American veteran is banging a drum near him. And people said he went up and harassed him. He's intimidating him.
Right.
That this high school student's doing this. And he was even compared to, like, the white students who harassed black students during, you know, segregation protests. But then the truth starts to come out more. We get more information. And Phillips, the Native American veteran, said, oh, these students were harassing these elderly black men, and I had to go in there and defuse the situation, and I was trying to bring peace to this, and I knew I felt like my life was in danger, and they were like coming after me. And the media ran with this and said that they did this, and even worse, the high school and the Diocese of Covington condemned their actions and apologized for what they did and said they were looking into punishments, including expulsion. Right. That all happened on the 19th, on the day of the march.
Right.
Then later, we find out there's a longer 2-hour video that had been uploaded by another group of protesters that were black Hebrew Israelites. These are people who believe they're African American. They call themselves Jewish. They believe they're the descendants of the Israelites, and they're marked by a radical theology and overt racism. They they talk about Jew devils, white devils, and for an hour, they were harassing these Covington students who were just waiting for their bus to pick them up.
Right.
They were waiting for the bus to pick them up. The black Hebrew Israelites were harassing them, calling them slurs, profanities, saying they were child molesters, that Jesus was a child molester. And the students showed great restraint. And they asked their chaperones, hey, can we, chant, do our football chants in response to them? The chaperone said, yeah, sure thing. And so they go and did that.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they were chanting. And then Phillips, the Native American veteran from the Indigenous People's March, he walked into where they were chanting. He walked into them banging his drum.
Yeah.
And then he walked up to Nick Sandman and is banging his drum literally inches away from his face. And Sandman's just standing there. Sandman released a statement yesterday saying that when this happened, I never interacted with this protester. I did not speak to him. I did not make any hand gestures or aggressive moves. To be honest, I was startled and confused as to why he had approached me. And we had already been yelled at. I believe that by remaining motionless and calm, I was helping to defuse the situation. And the best article I've seen on this whole thing is by Robbie Sove, who's an excellent journalist at Reason.com.
Oh, I saw that piece. Yeah.
It's a great piece. Check out Robbie Sove at Reason.com on this. The whole thing mischaracterized, but it's made me more emotional than usual. You know, pretty tempered about all of this. But I remember being a young high school
student. You just have to calm me down.
I know, usually. But I want to encourage young people to be pro-life. But here's the thing. If you're going to go out there and stand against abortion, it's a fight. People are going to try to verbally attack you, goad you into being physical. And they will pull every single dirty trick in the book out against you.
Yeah, and so then the media will report that they're the victim,
And here's what's awful. We know this is going to happen. So as Catholics who are pro-life and committed to the pro-life movement, we should stand up for one another. Now, I agree if someone was being racist or harassing people, that's wrong. But the evidence shows that Phillips, the Native American veteran, either misheard the claims that there were racist chants, either he misheard that or he lied about it. I'm sorry, that's just the way the evidence is.
Right.
And that's evidence. We look at evidence and make determinations from that. So we should stand up for one another at these events if we're going to be pro-life. Otherwise, young people are going to say, I don't want to be pro-life. I don't want to be involved in this kind of madness. That's what makes me very upset to see this. We need to be courageous and stand up pro-life. And I believe the Diocese of Covington, and I believe that the Covington Catholic High School owes these students an apology.
But it seems like
I'm calling both of them tomorrow.
Are you going to call them?
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Let them know that
this is a big thing. I go around every year. I train thousands of young people to go and stand up for abortion, and it's not easy. And when we as fellow Catholics won't support one another, here's the worst thing, Cy. You have these Catholics on social media who jumped on the bandwagon. The first hour it was released.
A little virtue signaling?
Yeah, they're saying, oh, we're not like this. Oh, this is terrible. Wait, you don't have all the facts. No. Thankfully, some of them wholeheartedly apologized. Others have not. And the Catechism, paragraph, I think it's 2479, says that calumny and destroying someone's reputation is a sin.
Yeah.
So that is, and so I'm not ashamed to say this, and we have to stand together being pro-life. We need to put forward good arguments. We should not respond. When people lie and slander us, we should not do the same back. St. Paul said, do not conquer evil with what is evil, conquer evil with good.
Yeah.
But we got to support one of us. That's why I wanted to spend this hour, however you feel about this, go ahead and call in. If you want advice on how to be courageously pro-life, how to stand up for pro-life, I want us to be able to have our voice be heard this hour.
Let's talk about it this hour.
So that's how I feel.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I just want to let you know, before we go to our break, Trent, I checked some media outlets, among them CNN and MSNBC, before I came on the air to see if they had corrected the story. And far from having corrected the story, they're still pushing that narrative. So,
they've tried to pick out everything, because the original story said that the students were chanting to the Native Americans, build that wall, chanting racist things, when actually some of the Native American marchers were telling them, go back to Europe. This isn't your land. They were the ones who were being racist.
Right.
But people won't admit that. This isn't I'm not saying this is a partisan issue, like one political party's right, the other's wrong. For me, this isn't an issue of partisanship. It's an issue of truth. Standing up for the truth of what happened in this event and the truth of why we should stand up for human life and for being authentically pro-life. Because there's a lot of people, Cy, there are people in the Catholic Church who claim to be pro-life. They're not really pro-life. They don't really believe in making abortion illegal. And so we need to have honest dialogue and get to the truth of this matter. I really do believe that.
I don't think anybody's going to call about this. I don't think you're getting any calls today. I don't think anybody has strong feelings about it, so we won't be getting any calls. 888-318-7884 is the number. As Trent said, we want to give you a free ebook, a copy of Made This Way. I think this is it's one of the best free things we've given away in a long, long time, in my memory, let's put it that way. All you do is you go to Amazon.com. You go to the Kindle page and you get the free Kindle version of Made This Way. Amazon.com, look up Made This Way, get the Kindle version, and you can have it for free till when, Trent? Do you know?
I believe it's all this. I think it's all this week until Friday.
All this week until Friday. We'll be right back with more right after this.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The Church has 2,000 years of wisdom to share on what it takes to live life gracefully.
We're so overwhelmed by how much our faith has transformed our marriage and family especially. We want everyone to experience the incredible gift that the Catholic vision of life and love really is.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Trent Horn. We're talking about being courageously pro-life in the light of all the things that have happened this weekend. I have to say, you're familiar with the term Rorschach test. This whole incident with the boys and the... Are you familiar with that term?
Yeah. Rorschach test refers to a technique that that Rorschach, a character in the Watchmen comics, would use on his adversaries.
Trent, there is a real world in addition to the comic book world.
Oh, okay. Dr. Rorschach.
Yes.
The ink blotches.
Yes. So you look at the ink blots and it helps to say what your own biases and preconceptions are, what your own fantasies and focus are by what you project onto it. So it's designed to call out a projection.
It's like, so one ink blot will look like a flower to one person and their angry mother-in-law to another.
Right. Uh-huh. Yes. And to another, a comic book character. And I do think these events that happen, they have all the marks of the current cultural battles over race, over
politics,
mm-hmm. over abortion. Yeah. It's all there, and so it created a kind of Rorschach test. And the thing that strikes me is that the more and more I'm noticing that the word Catholic goes on the side that the national media would characterize as the haters. And so to be Catholic, you're thought of as a hater. Because I think that among the things that people didn't like about these boys, Donald Trump hats.
That was the number one. They're wearing
white boys.
Donald Trump hats. They're white.
And they're Catholic.
And they're Catholic at a pro-life march. But yeah. Because I know.
And they're pro-life.
In the Washington Post.
And all of this is a signal to the media. These are bad people.
Which I should rename now the Washington Post Haste because they don't bother to get their facts straight. The Washington Post doesn't get hardly any facts straight.
Maybe Post-Truth.
Yeah, Post-Truth. That's a good one because they also ran another article I critiqued on Twitter. The Post was saying, pro-lifers say science is on their side, but doctors say abortion is necessary.
Right.
I'm like, that is the most ludicrous article I've ever read in my life. It was something a doctor... I put it on my Twitter feed here.
The thing is, you'll notice that they'll never talk to an embryologist.
This is what they
said. Always talk to an OBGYN who does abortions.
Yeah, this is what he said about whether pro-life is scientific. He said, science isn't really designed to answer questions about the exact beginning of life. Science tells us that abortion is safe. Science tells us that abortion is healthcare. That is the most confused understanding of science I've ever seen in my life.
Big study science. Scientists got together and they did a study of what is healthcare, and they said, abortion is. That's a scientific finding. That's not just
a silly finding.
All right, I'm going to start making fun of people, and I don't want to do that. I want to talk to callers.
Yeah, let's do that.
I was wrong. It turns out about 1,000 people called. Alan in Cincinnati, Ohio, you're first. Alan, your comment or question? No? No, Alan? All right.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, are you there, Alan?
I am. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay. You had a comment or a question?
Go ahead.
I did. I'm actually a member of the Diocese of Covington, so a shout out to my fellow mates there. Mm-hmm. But the question I have, I'm pro-life.
Sure.
And want to properly witness. One condition I'm aware of being in the health field is that... you've got this trapped syndrome thing where you've got twins and one of the twins doesn't have a heart or has a very malformed heart.
Right.
And the other twin is feeding the twin without a heart through its heart and it's pumping.
Right.
And it's typically by a main blood vessel, mm-hmm. Like through the umbilical cord. And so this twin that's compromised either has a very small heart, oftentimes no head or a partially formed upper part, but typically no upper, normal upper extremities.
Right.
The lower extremities can be normal.
Yep.
So you've got a really abnormal situation. The problem is for the twin with all its parts in place, they're perfusing for two. So that kid goes into heart failure.
Right. So the question is, what do you do in the case of conjoined twins where it appears if you don't do anything, both twins will die? Are you allowed to separate the twins, even though that means one of the twins will probably perish? Is that what you're referring to?
Right. Yeah, because it's like, it's both will pass, and then you've got a extremely malformed one who will pass, and the current cure is to ablate the blood flow to that severely compromised twin who, by all measures, will not survive.
Right. Cannot survive. If you don't have a head or a heart, you can't survive.
So yeah, so what happens here, and this would be a bioethical dilemma. I remember that there were doctors in England that were dealing with a case like this in the year 2000 that went to the courts about what should be done with conjoined twins, one of whom will live, only if the other is separated. What Catholic bioethics would apply in this case would be the question of ordinary care or proportionate means or disproportionate means. So I do not have the right to Sai's heart to keep me alive. Like, your heart, Sai, was naturally designed to keep your body, you alive, right, not me alive.
And I already gave it to my wife.
Right. So really, you told me before you had an achy breaky heart, though, I thought. So it's,
don't tell my heart.
I will not do that. So the question, so what would follow from that is, you don't have a moral obligation to send blood from your heart into my body. So if there were a situation where we were conjoined in some way, you would not be obligated to use your heart to keep me alive. However, other organs are designed to keep an unborn child alive, like the uterus itself. So I would say in the case of conjoined twins, separating them, knowing that one will perish anyways, you're not actively killing that child. Rather, you've come to realize that child is doomed, that child is dying from their own congenital birth development defects, and so you're allowing that child to die and not take the life of their brother or sister with him. So I'd recommend that other cases have been write-ups on this. You could check the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Might be good to look at, or William May's book on Catholic Bioethics and the Gift of Human Life.
Alan, thank you very, very much. We are, just so you know, I'm going to go pretty quickly today because I know we're going to get lots and lots of calls. We already have lots of calls.
I want to bring up one more point, though, about, because we started about the Covington issue about the march and how people wildly mischaracterize that. Is a lesson one from that is, don't rush to judgment. Be very careful. Try to wait till you get all the facts in. So that's number one, what we should all take away from that. Two, we should pray for these young men that they're going to be treated fairly from here on out, and that events like this will not dampen young people or discourage them from publicly fighting for the cause of life. So I'm actually going to be Covington is just right outside of Cincinnati. I'm going to be in Cincinnati on February 23rd for the E6 Catholic Men's Conference. So I'm going to be there in a month on February 23rd. So anyone listening who can help us, or, you know, if you're in Covington, you know these boys, I'll be there February 23rd. I'd be happy to take Nick Sandman and his other friends out for lunch, my treat, to personally thank them for standing for life and being a good witness and showing composure in this situation. Because I've been here's the thing, Sai. I've been in situations where protesters have gotten in my face.
Yeah.
So when people are like, I hate his terrible smirk. I don't like his smirk. grow up, you babies. I was in a situation once where I had someone, a protester, yelling at me in my face. And I sat there and I had a similar smirk. And someone yelled at me and said, "Way to go, Mr. Smug," as if my smirk was worse than this person
in
yelling and screaming at me.
Right.
It's such a strange distortion in my mind.
Yes, I agree.
So I thought that and I'm not saying all of them were angels. Some of them might have been. They look like, you know, rowdy teenage boys. Is that a national news story? But I will say that him especially, and some of his other friends, show great composure when dealing with protesters for the first time that they're not used to. It took me practice to deal with protesters. So I'll be there February 23rd. Anybody can get me in touch with them. I'll buy them dinner on me, and encourage them and give them a free copy of Persuasive Pro-Life.
So anybody around the country who's pro-life, just make your way to Cincinnati. Trent will be. Is that right? Anybody, any human being that's pro-life can come, and you'll...
Anybody
on earth who's pro-life.
Pro-life, pro-choice. I will happily talk with you about this issue.
No, I'm saying, who are you buying dinner for? All the pro-life people in America?
It depends. Are we all going to split the check? Yes.
Oh, that's not buying dinner. Anonymous in Georgia, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130 EWTN. You're up next. Your question or comment.
Good evening. Thanks for your work. Are we required to share our views if that would compromise us professionally, particularly attending the March for Life? Sharing that in a lot of professions would be incredibly detrimental. Thank you. God bless, and keep it up.
Oh, you want to hang on? We'll talk about it, or do you?
Oh, I think the caller is anonymous.
Oh, yeah,
and
point.
I think maybe concerned about her own position, even in revealing that she's pro-life. So I think she just wanted to pose the question: is one morally obligated to share your views? I don't think you're necessarily morally obligated in all cases to share your views that you're pro-life if in doing so it will cause more harm than good. I believe we are morally obligated in general to, one, be pro-life, to affirm the church's teachings on abortion, to believe them, to not publicly contradict them, and to do our best to fight for them. So in some, but we have to be pragmatic about this. In some cases, you know, let's say that you are, you know, a teacher at a public university, although usually a lot of them are open about being for abortion. I don't know why, yeah. If this is involving a public university, you're protected under freedom of speech, why you wouldn't be protected in that way. But there could be people working in the healthcare industry or in other industries.
Or maybe someone who was trying to get tenure.
Yeah, that too. Or someone in a private healthcare industry who's trying to make a difference there and is not trying to rock the boat. I say people should be pragmatic and follow your conscience and do your best to always promote the cause of life without being – don't refrain just because you're ashamed. Only refrain because you're seeking a greater good to do even better work for the pro-life cause.
Talking about being courageously pro-life as we approach tomorrow, the 46th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision. Trent Horn is our guest, 888-31-TRUTH, our number, right back after this.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine. Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
And I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. The Morning Glory Team talks about Proverbs for pro-lifers.
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Maybe it's a little bit provocative, our program today, but we're very happy to be here with you and actually to have the opportunity to talk about these things, which you make possible. We try never to forget that it's because we have the support of so many people in the Catholic community and even beyond the Catholic community that we're able to talk about issues like human life and its defense. So today we're talking a bit about being courageously pro-life. And I do think it does take courage in many situations. It's not hard for me to sit next to Trent Horn in front of a microphone and be pro-life. I'm pretty sure he's not going to get in my face or be mean to me, or he will give examples in which he kills me off. But other than that, all for the greater good. But in many, many situations, it does indeed take courage. So that's what our conversation is. Today, Aina in Buffalo, New York.
Aina
in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Aina, excuse me. Happy to have you here with us. Your question.
Thank you very much. Boy, Trent, you're really fired up tonight.
That's a rare one for me, but it's just so hard. And you know what's funny? Ben Shapiro has been called my doppelganger, and he was more fired up than usual. And I think for me, I get this way because when I see in these kids, I see, you know, 17, 18-year-old Trent going to the march for the first time before he became a pro-life apologist. Before I was who I was, being on radio, writing books, I was in that position. And what if one of them is going to be the next Trent Horn, but gets discouraged from this national news coverage. I say, no way. And other people who disagree with me, well, sorry, evidence is evidence, but do go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I'm a vigil coordinator right now for 40 Days for Life.
God bless you.
And
thank you.
A couple of years ago, we had some counter-protesters come out, mm-hmm. and they had drums that they were banging, and they had signs that they were pro-choice and that we were haters and this yeah. and that. And I just said to them, welcome. I am so glad you're here, because now I get to talk to you, and you get to talk to me. And we kind of did that over,
good.
You know, the weeks that they came back. And some of them, like they're, when they said, you know, we're pro-choice, and I said, I'm pro-choice too. God is pro-choice. God said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. So this idea that the pro-abortionists are the only pro-choice people just really yeah. riles me.
No, yeah.
But so anyway, over the weeks, you know, some of them dropped off. You know, they really, I think they kind of rethought their position when they got to know that we were yeah. really human beings. We actually take care of foster kids and, you know, and all the things that they're told are lies.
Right. And I agree with you. I think that this is one of the best ways, a great witness, that when you deal with people who are angry, to invite them into conversation. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And that's why I try to do on the show here, why are you pro-choice? When I've dealt with protesters at public events, I say, well, why do you think that? Help explain that to me. Whenever we can create genuine dialogue to show we're a genuine human being, I think it's well worth it. Though in some cases, though, and I'm not saying that at the March for Life event here with the Covington Catholic High School students that Phillips was trying to be malicious per se. I think he was walking in there trying to bang a drum, whatever he was doing. He wasn't.
It appears he made his own rash judgment.
Well, he was just trying to. Yeah, I do believe he did make a rash judgment. He was just trying to make noise to, you know, settle things out, whatever. I've been in cases where someone's just trying to make noise and you can't have a conversation. You can't have any conversation one way or another. So in that case, you just have to pray for the person, be polite, and be kind to them. So that's why in these situations that we encounter, if you talk to someone who is pro-choice, and especially if they're very angry or upset, just say, hey, I'm willing to hear you out. I want to listen to you. And I want to be a human being for you to share your experiences with me, but I do have a few questions for you so we can kind of sort through this difficult issue. But Ina, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you very, very much. 888-318-7884, the number. Jess in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on 106.3 FM. You are next. Jess, your comment or question for Trent Horn.
Hi there. I am calling in because I witnessed the events at the Lincoln Memorial firsthand. Mm-hmm. I was there in person.
Oh, wow.
And from what I saw, and I'll say right now, I wasn't paying attention to the group the entire time I was there.
Sure.
But from what I gathered is that the Black Hebrew Israelites that were there were instigating these kids who had met there. And they were saying things that were just terrible.
Oh, they were saying things. I can't repeat it on air what they were saying. And they were doing it for an hour. You're absolutely correct.
Right, exactly. And I crossed paths with the Native American man walking mm-hmm. up, getting his drum out, and going over to confront them.
Right.
The media headlines that came out were complete falsehoods. And the entire narrative that they surrounded, you know, this man and did these things is false, and I saw it firsthand. And I had a really hard time coming to terms with how bad the media treated these young men.
Jess, that is something you will have to get used to in this country. And it is very unfortunate. I used to not be as vocal about this, but after this event, basically you cannot. It's a hard time to find the truth. Most media outlets in this country, you cannot trust them. They are fake news. They rush to judgment. They don't even try to be objective reporters anymore. They have a political bias, and they put it through. And in many cases, these journalists oppose almost everything the Catholic Church stands for. They want abortion to be legal. They see nothing wrong with homosexuality. They don't believe in the importance of grace or salvation. That bias is present in the largest media platforms and social networking platforms here in the country. So we, my friend John, one of my mentors in the pro-life movement, he put it well. When I was younger, I thought, you know, I don't have to be as mean, I don't have to be mean to people. We can all play nice. We can work together to get the truth. And he told me, Trent, these people who want abortion to be legal, they will lie through their teeth to you. And I've seen them, Si. I've been at events. I've seen them lie about what my friends did, claiming they had committed crimes even mm-hmm. they didn't even do. The fact of the matter is, if these people are, remember, if someone is okay with a baby being killed out of convenience, why wouldn't they be okay with lying?
That's the thing.
Why wouldn't they?
Right.
You can't trust that person. So it is hard. Now, I think most people, when it comes to abortion, they're not outright malicious, snidely whiplash, twirling their mustache people.
No.
But I do believe most people are very confused about abortion in the sense they think it's something bad and sad that should be legal. And so what we have to do is talk with them, ask them questions so they can see how confused their beliefs are and try to sort through a belief that is logical and makes more sense, which is abortion is bad and sad and we ought to do something about it to keep these babies from being killed. That is what we should do. And so, yeah, be very wary. And I've seen this too, though, even media outlets that are in favor of making abortion illegal, even ones that are pro-life, they get facts wrong too. They distort things as well because sometimes people are in a race to try to be the first or in a race to get a big story out there, they don't check their facts. And I've made mistakes too. I've made mistakes. We're all human. What we should do is try to be committed to truth because ultimately the truth will point us to the right direction. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Jess.
Thank you, Jess, for calling.
We don't know you, Jess, or from Adam, I suppose would be the way to say it. But is there anything else you'd like to tell us about what you saw? How did you feel about how the boys behaved? Were you at all bothered by it at the time?
From what I saw at my time there, I noticed they weren't behaving poorly. They were, you know, being probably as gracious as they could given the circumstances mm-hmm. and being, you know, harassed and being...
Okay, that's
basically assaulted, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's helpful, Jess.
Yeah, I know the black Hebrew Israelites were assaulting them. There is no doubt about that. And they were probably confused that when this Native American man with his drum came in, they didn't know. And some of them said, who is he with? Who's this guy with?
Yeah.
They were confused. They don't know if he's against them or for them. And Nick Sandman, the kid, the quote-unquote smirking kid, you can even see in the longer video, he waves his hand at some of his other friends to tell them not to intervene or do something rash with this Native American veteran. So once again, they show great composure. Anybody listening who can get me in touch with them, I'll be in Cincinnati February 23rd, 22nd, 23rd. I'll happily buy them lunch, give them a copy of my book and shake their hands and thank them and encourage them, tell them they should be pro-life. And I'm calling the school and the diocese tomorrow, telling them they should apologize.
So if you're in the Cincinnati area and you are pro-life, Trent will buy you lunch. Let us go now. Oh, Jess, thanks again for that call. Let us go now to Christopher in Duluth, Minnesota, watching on YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us via YouTube. Christopher, your question.
Okay, so it's more of a statement. I'm pro-life. I come from a Roman Catholic grandma side and a Byzantine Catholic grandfather. I am very much pro-life. I'm devout Roman Catholic. I have a lot of friends who are pro-choice or pro-abortion. They don't see anything wrong with it. Well, they're my siblings' friends, but they're friends of mine too. But they don't see anything wrong with it, and they don't. But they're one of those people that if you try and reason with them, a lot of them are pretty nice, but you can't reason with them. And I feel like this whole thing, it's turned into a religion in a sense that you can't.
People who are pro-choice, you mean?
Reason with them. You can't reason with their choice.
All right, let's let Trent respond to that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Christopher, that it's something that takes time, that the morality of abortion is a deep-seated issue for people. So it's part of their fundamental worldview that ultimately goes back to what they believe about human life, what they believe about sexuality. Deep-seated parts of our worldview don't change very easily or flippantly. It takes time for that because, you know, usually a lot of people I know who are pro-life adopt a particular worldview about God, about creation, about sexuality. And those who are pro-choice usually have a very radical different worldview in that regard. So it's not just one issue. It becomes almost a linchpin for other issues. I know a lot of people, when they became pro-life, they weren't even Christian. And by becoming pro-life, they became Catholic through that. I think Pat Madrid did a whole anthology called Surprised by Life about people who became Catholic because they became pro-life. It just, a lot of things clicked after that. So we shouldn't be surprised that when people are confronted with the pro-life issue, with a pro-life argument, it takes them time to work through it. But I have seen people change their minds. People have emailed me about this, saying that arguments I've shared on air have changed their minds. But we should understand that it just takes a lot of time for people, sometimes many, many years to do that. And we just have to present this to them in a loving and a gracious way. And so really the Holy Spirit does that work. We just try to remove any obstacles in his path.
Christopher, we will leave it there. Thank you so much for the call. January is pro-life month all the way right up to the end. So even though the big giant walk is over, we've still got tons of pro-life materials on sale for $5 each. We just want to get this stuff out to you. So if you go to shop.catholic.com, you click on the pro-life books section, everything there. Books, DVDs, MP3s, everything. It's all $5 per copy. Shop.catholic.com, $5 pro-life materials right now.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
You know what Catholic radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A lot of conversation provoked by what having happened from Covington Catholic Church.
Remember, sometimes people make a rush to judgment, Si. Yes. They make a rush to judgment to be first in the story, and they get the facts wrong. Even I do that, and I'm willing to apologize to that. So I do apologize. It's Covington, not Covington, is what I've been told by locals who've called the show. So I do apologize for that, but... But yeah,
look, so, if we're going to start quibbling over Trent's pronunciation, we'll never have a radio show.
Radio? Radio. Radio.
Shall we go to Maria in South Bend, Indiana?
Yeah, that
I think they
fine.
Have a Catholic school there. Maria, your question or comment
Hi.
For Trent. Hi.
It's a comment, actually, okay. About the issue you guys are discussing.
Sure.
So I am a pro-life, very pro-life woman. Mm-hmm. Mother, I work at a Catholic high school, and I've been on the March for Life several times. I've taken high schoolers there.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is an embarrassment what those kids did to the Native Americans.
What specifically was that?
Well, the harassment they did. You know,
what did
whatever
they do?
Little pieces of the video that is going around show a really bad side of those kids. Whether they started it, they
Maria,
did anything.
Maria, what specifically did they do?
They were harassing him.
What do you mean? What do you
just
mean?
Just surrounding a person.
Maria,
the way they did
Maria,
to him
you're. I believe you're mistaken. No, that's not what happened.
More news has come out that you may not have seen.
Maria, the longer videos have shown the boys were in a group together on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. They were there as a group. They were being harassed by black Hebrew Israelites, and they were chanting in response to the hateful slurs that were being thrown at them. Then this Native American man, Phillips, walked into their group. He was not surrounded by them. He walked into the middle of them. He was banging a drum, and the boys were dancing along with it, just trying to have it look like they were just having fun and having a good time. They did not go and find him and surround him. He went and got in their faces with his drum.
That and is, even he that, said that to CNN. He said he thought the only way he could get out was to walk through this group
he,
of boys.
So he purposely went there and got in this one boy's face and banged his drum. How doesn't it sound like he's harassing them?
I've been in the March for Life, like yes. I said, mm-hmm. several times. I've been harassed
yeah.
because of marching.
Yeah, right.
But I not responded. I mean, there's been people that had yelled at us so many different mean things. But when you are marching to defend life, you're going to defend life even from those that are
right.
Attacking
but what
you.
Did but what did these boys do that and was harassing? So, Maria, let me ask you a question. Maria, is dancing along with someone playing on a drum harassment?
Look, I, like you said, and you are right, I don't know the full story from
okay.
both sides.
Okay.
But what has circulated makes them look so bad.
That it does.
True.
You're absolutely right. Maria, are you willing to, I'm willing to send you, we can get your email, I will send you an article that shows both sides so you can get a more informed opinion. Would you like me to send that to you?
Sure. Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great. We'll send leave our call screen or your email, and I will send you that article so you can be more informed. And I do thank you for calling.
And God bless you and all you've done to defend.
Yes,
life.
Thank you for going to the March for Life. Now, yeah, it's there's emotions here. I mean, people obviously, and I'm feeling that way, and other people may feel emotional. Like you don't want pro-lifers and Catholics looking bad. We all get emotional, but we have to make sure we always follow the evidence and keep the truth at the forefront. And even people who are on the other side of this, Julie Irwin Zimmerman at The Atlantic put out a good article this morning called "I Failed the Covington Catholic Test."
Yeah.
She says, next time there's a viral story, I'll wait for more facts to emerge, which is the overarching theme anybody can learn from this incident.
Yeah.
In the age of social media and instant news sharing, wait a little bit. Just wait a little bit. Try to get the facts. Also, I'll say this. That those Catholics who are responding, there are prominent Catholics on social media who I believe have slandered these young men. Some have apologized, others have not. And so some Catholics are harassing them on social media. Don't do that. Don't harass. And I've engaged with some of these, including clerics on social media, who should have apologized and have not. You know, don't harass them, but just politely ask them, you know, will you set the record straight on this? And when you engage them, don't go for name calling. Don't go for attack. Don't attack somebody with insults. Present them with the truth. The truth fires away and attacks at error way better than any name calling does. Just present the truth. As St. Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. You'll have a way better witness than any names you might call someone.
Yeah, it is kind of both sides of the media. If you take the traditional conservative and liberal failed on this. I mean, you think about conservative outlets like National Review completely.
They also,
they apologized and they took the story down.
They apologized. Rich Lowry took the story down and he put up an explanation saying, even an old hand like me, we can make mistakes. And I'm not infallible.
He seems like an honorable guy. It was just that, but there's a certain fever got started.
It is
here.
Hard when you look at something from one particular angle and you only get one side of the story. That's why it is important to. You know, we can't indefinitely suspend judgment on things, otherwise we can never act or function.
Right.
But we should work hard to avoid rash judgment. And I've tried to do the same. And you know what? I'll probably, who knows, in a few years from now, a few months, I might make a similar mistake in trying to comment on something. All we can do is try to be humble and realize when we've made an error, apologize for it, and work hard not to damage people's reputations in the future.
Greg in Wichita, Kansas, you are up next. Greg, your comment or question for Trent Horn.
Good afternoon. A number of years ago, I'm a Catholic school teacher and would take a group of students out to one of the three local abortion clinics in Wichita. And I had to keep one student at home. I mean, I wouldn't allow him out there because his girlfriend would come with him and they would viciously attack his girlfriend. He was kind of a attitude of, you know, he was a farm boy and. Mm-hmm. He felt like he had to defend her honor. So I just told him not to come out anymore. But the rest of the kids, we would pray and sing. One day, the clinic supporters showed up with, they got to know us since we were out there every week.
Yeah.
They came with tombstones with their names on, and they would chant and sing. And
of the of your students.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
So these
found out who are.
These abortion facility workers came with mock tombstones with your students' names on them. That's grim.
Right.
And well, if they're involved, well, if they are directly involved with killing babies, I expect nothing less, but all right.
Yeah. What made it interesting was you can imagine surrounding an abortion clinic with tombstones and yelling and screaming and shouting at our kids.
Yeah.
Who would want to pull in for an abortion?
And right.
It wasn't long. I think maybe a year, year and a half, the abortion clinic closed.
Amen. Thank you for your presence and your witness there. Greg, how did your students handle all of this when they go out and pray and suddenly things start to get real? How did they handle that?
Well, at first that kind of excited them that they could draw that kind of attention.
Mm.
But after a while, it was they felt compelled. It just kind of heightened their awareness of this issue of life and
good.
And the other thing that occurred, and the newspaper occasionally would report about the activities,
mm-hmm.
and there'd be so many inaccuracies. And I contacted the editor of the paper and the local paper and asked. I was there. I saw what I saw did not match what you all reported. And his answer to me was, they had a project called the People Project. He said, the aim of this newspaper is to affect social change.
Yeah, yeah, that's a problem.
Deny lying.
That's a problem when journalists believe, especially when they're a community newspaper or a local newspaper or a media outlet that is expected to be non-biased. They believe that their mission is to affect social change, and that is not the mission of a journalistic enterprise. The mission is to find the truth, to tell the truth, to correct errors where there are errors, and to vindicate the truth where it can be vindicated. And it's not to make social change. Now, that there are media outlets that are dedicated to that, but that is not the job of your local newspaper. That is not the job, but unfortunately, many journalists believe it is their job.
And just remember that when we stand up for life and stand up for truth, number one, we should follow and imitate Christ and expect that what happened to him will probably happen to us. That when Jesus was mocked and belittled, like the Sanhedrin, people spat at him, they slapped his face, prophesy, who hit you? Treated unfairly, and people came forward and lied about him at his trial.
Yeah.
You know, when he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up, they said, Jesus said he's going to destroy the temple. They lied about him. But then the false witnesses, when they were further investigated by the Sanhedrin, their statements contradicted one another.
Yeah.
And so Jesus didn't have to lash out. He didn't lash out at anyone. He didn't respond evil with evil. He knew that the truth would come forward, and he responded to them in a gracious way. You know, why do you hit me? You know, yes, I am the Messiah. So when we stand up for life courageously, people will fight back against us. It's a spiritual battle. But we have to remember we've got the ultimate ammunition. We've got the Holy Spirit. God has won the battle. We have to always be people of prayer, rooted in grace, to know that when we face people who are angry at us, that we can respond with calmness, with composure, with kindness. St. Paul says, quoting Proverbs, when you're kind to your enemy, it's like heaping hot coals on their head.
Yeah.
And that is the way we should respond and be able to put forward compelling arguments so that the truth will have its day. The truth will win. The pro-choice side only succeeds when abortion is ignored or not talked about. But when there's a fair hearing and the evidence is on the table, the pro-life side comes out reasonable nine times out of 10. The only time it doesn't is when we are unreasonable.
Yeah.
Or when we fail in our duty to be a good ambassador of the pro-life cause, a good ambassador for Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 says.
Trent Horn has been our guest. His book, Made This Way with Layla Miller, is available for free right now at Amazon. That's the Kindle version of it, the electronic version of it. Just go to Amazon, look up Made This Way, and you can have a free Kindle version. If you like the book, leave a good review for them.
And I am so happy my buddy and colleague Carla Broussard's coming in. So if you have questions, so pro-life is now off the table. Hope you had your fun. Bible Blueprint for the Church next hour. If you have a question about why we need a church, Bible points in that way, my buddy, the Raging Cajun Carlo Broussard's got all the answers.
We've missed him. He's back, the Raging Cajun. Carlo Broussard here to give us the Bible evidence for the church.